Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cakes Oliville, and Eric Bickle. Been talking about the Commanders' win on a victory Monday over the Chargers, 27-10 after a slow start. They get it going in the second quarter, and the offense got rolling thereafter. Did it feel like the 2024 Washington Commanders? When I was watching it, I kind of felt like Jaden was back to being like he was last year. Like,
I thought
I thought he was on point throughout the game. You saw him with his legs. Like, he didn't have a huge gain in there, but he pretty much could do whatever he wanted. You know, he was, for the most part, was sliding.
Well, I mean, the only thing that was different was there was no Terry. I mean, you got Debo, so Debo was the Terry yesterday.
But the pass to McCaffrey was perfect.
Great throw.
The pass to Moore, which was dropped, would have been a touchdown. That was great.
I just think it's funny how, and again, I've said it for days, weeks, that sports is so unpredictable, how we've been killing the defense.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't killing them at the Raider game, after the Raider game, because they played well, but we certainly killed them after the Falcon game. And now, after the first quarter yesterday, the defense was really good.
Excellent.
Getting after the quarterback, forcing turnovers, secondary is much better because the pressure was good. They got to Herbert and forced him to throw some balls a little quicker than they probably wanted to.
To me, that's why it's not doesn't feel quite like last year, because I don't remember many, if any, defensive-led victories.
I think the team's better this year. Game. I know they're 3-2. I think they're better. I just have a sense they got to get rolling, and you know they could lose to the Bears. It could happen, and then everybody will be, sky is falling again. But all the stuff we talked about in the offseason, when they started acquiring guys like Tunsil and Debo Samuel, and they draft Connolly, we said the offense was going to be better. And then defensively, it looks like Kinlaw is the real deal. Like, a lot of people question that. None of us really knew Javon Kinlaw's game. And we even wondered, how are they going to utilize him? We talked about elephant end and all these wacky things. He's the run stuffer that they needed. He's just
been a
huge,
addition,
massive body.
I just don't know that if can they replicate this week in, week out.
Yeah,
like that. Right. Like, if they do the same thing against the Bears, then I'll start buying in. I need to see it in multiple weeks to really believe that the defense is as good as they showed yesterday. Like, I don't think they're going to get five sacks every single week.
No,
I don't see that happening.
Yesterday was just a good day for them.
It was a really good day.
I mean, after the Falcon game, we said Penix had all day to throw.
Yeah,
and they couldn't cover Bijan. They couldn't cover Pitts. They couldn't cover London. They couldn't cover anybody. Yesterday, totally different story.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's still week to week. I still don't think we know.
I'm not completely sold.
Exactly.
I need to see more, but yesterday what we saw was very encouraging.
I mean,
by
maybe
they
did take advantage of that banged up Charger offensive line. I mean, they pointed it out during the game. They got three guys. I mean, Becton was in and out.
Yeah.
I think Becton ended up leaving the game.
I mean, if they pressure Caleb and make him look terrible, make him, you know, scramble around like he did in his rookie year and eat a bunch of sacks, then I'll start buying in.
1-800-636-1067. I put it up as our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories. With zero carbonation for easy sipping, find Surfside at your local bars and in a convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. I had some Surfsides for a little get-together we had after our soccer game yesterday, and a couple of the parents had never tried Surfside, and they're like, it's pretty good.
There you go.
Pretty good. Like, and then, of course, one, like the common was like, this doesn't taste like it has any alcohol in it.
Exactly.
That's the genius.
So smooth.
My guy Raul was like, this tastes like lemonade.
That's why you have six of them.
Yeah.
It's called the perfect blend.
That's actually what I told him. I said, have eight of them. Yeah, well, tell me if there's any alcohol in them.
Let's act responsible. Let's not get too crazy.
No, they're
great.
We
wind up like Mark Sanchez all of a sudden.
But poll of the day is, are they feeling reminiscent of last year? I had those vibes yesterday. It was the first time. Where it was like, this
but we still
feels
need to get
like,
healthy.
It feels like last year's team. You're never going to be completely healthy. It's the NFL. There's no team that's completely healthy. I actually think they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, but they got to get guys
compared
back.
To a lot of teams. They're pretty healthy.
I don't know. I'm not sure that Jaden's 100%. Maybe he's 90. But I need Terry back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can say you're really healthy when your top wide receiver weapon's been sidelined for now two games.
Yeah,
like that hurts.
Yeah, you're going to need him.
Yeah, you need 100%. Him back in the fold.
And I'm curious to see the plan.
I mean, they had 15 completions
yesterday.
The plan was
to have Deebo along with Terry, not just Deebo.
They had 15 completions yesterday, and Deebo had half of them.
Right.
I'm curious to see the snap count. It did seem
we
like...
We already have it. It's out.
Oh, we did. Did they... Now, I do think Bob Wagner is probably 100%.
Who do you want?
I feel like I saw other guys' defense. I felt like I saw other guys on the field more, like McGee made a play.
I'm curious if,
because remember the whole conversation last
Jordan
week
McGee
was
in for 12 snaps.
Okay, but it's better than zero.
Bobby Wagner was in for 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, I know that Wagner's going to be there.
What about Luvu?
Luvu, 99%.
Yep. Yeah, they just use those guys all the time.
If one of those guys gets injured, they're in a world of hurt.
And I'm guessing the entire secondary was pretty much
100%. Lattimore, 99%. Amos, 97%.
Martin, Reeves.
Excuse me, 82%.
Okay. What about Martin?
Jacob Martin?
No, Quan.
Oh, he's always up there high.
He had to be 100%.
Yeah, he was 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Percy Butler was in for two. Noah I was in for one. That was probably the one that Lattimore wasn't in for, I'm guessing. I don't know.
So maybe it didn't change much because a lot of the conversation last week was, they got to play their young guys on defense. Right. They're too old. They're too slow.
Right.
Maybe it was just a bad game.
Well, at some point, you do have to indoctrinate your young talent into the mix. You can't just play the old dinosaurs until they retire, and then your young guys have no experience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know if that's the best way to coach up your young talent.
One of those old dinosaurs had a sack and a half, and he'll be on the show tomorrow at 9:20.
That's right, Von Miller.
I think he'd be better if he heard you call him an old dinosaur.
He would be. I didn't.
I think he'd be very happy.
JP basically called him that.
Oh, okay.
I put that. It was a blanket term.
Preston Smith.
We've been doing the show for almost 30 years.
Yeah,
it's known.
We're the old dinosaurs.
You're an ageist. No, but it's known you're an ageist.
There may be some audio that points to that theory.
EB and I were rooting for Tom Watson, and you said that old fart couldn't win it.
And who was correct?
Well, he didn't win it, but he had a chance.
This guy, correct.
Yeah, but eventually, Phil won one over 50.
Old farts can get it done.
They're called outliers.
Yeah.
I'm a man of science. I trust the numbers.
You're equating golf to football.
I know. What are we even doing here?
1-800-636-1067.
Yes.
All right, let's go. Let me see here.
Tom Brady was an old fart that won a Super Bowl.
Let's go to Reggie in D.C. Reggie, what's up, buddy? Hey,
what's
Reggie.
What's going on, fellas?
Look at me.
Hey, Lurch, I'm going to call you back in about 4 weeks, man, because you get a real little chuckle when JP said, man, who's the best running back in the NFC East? So I'm going to give it 4 weeks to bake a little bit, you know, so it can cook.
All right.
We've been watching the Skins forever. Name one running back that is reminiscent of this kid. Maybe what? Clinton Portis is something special. The way he hits the hole. You see the one that Derwin James almost took his neck off? He was able to spin around it around the corner, put a little cut, and then run for like 20, 25 yards. I get it. He's still young. He missed all of last season. But you don't need to be a rocket scientist to look at a running back and say, okay, it's something a little special when this kid, he's averaging like 8 yards a carry.
Right. No, you're right, Reggie. I, 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 Reggie, I'll admit I was skeptical when they traded B-Rob because Brian Robinson was proven here.
Mm-hmm.
He was proven. But, man, this kid's explosive.
Yeah, yeah, but think about it. B-Rob wouldn't have made none of those runs this kid made yesterday.
No, not of one course up. Not.
No, no, right.
He's the boy. He doesn't have that speed.
He's third in rookie rushing, and he has like 30 less carries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I like the fact that they still platooning, but he had 14 carries for 111 yards.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to hear about Sandy. The Chargers defense wasn't hurt. They had a top five, I think top maybe top seven defense overall. Mm-hmm. They was really good against the run. So, I mean, this kid, again, I'm going to wait a couple more weeks just to see whether or not
keep it in your pants, Reggie. You're to the point you're about to unzip your pants, but keep it in your pants for a few more weeks.
Reggie.
Yeah.
Were you getting
– because Cliff, sometimes he forget that we are a top five running team and want to throw the ball 40 or 50 times. So, it's not going to be on him. But you can just – the eyeball test. When is the last time we had a running back like this? This kid.
It's been a while. Man, Reggie.
Yeah, love the show as always.
Bro. All right, buddy.
Were you getting 2024 vibes?
He gone.
By the way, Bill averaged 9.4 yards per touch yesterday.
Yeah. Were any of you guys getting those vibes? I was getting 2024 vibes.
Not really, because again, the defense is what kind of led them yesterday.
A little bit from the second quarter on offensively. They didn't say
that about the defense last year.
I didn't expect
them. They didn't punt after the second quarter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't dominate games like that last year. They played a lot of tight games. A lot of one possession games.
They kind of figured it out. They dominated
the Chargers for three quarters.
Yeah, but they had a bunch of games where their offense was rolling like this where they barely punted.
Right.
True, but they had a lot of one-score games last year, and yesterday was far from that.
I'm still waiting. I think we're
But they had laughers like the game against the Titans last year.
Okay, well, the Titans suck.
I think we're still averaging about what we averaged last year, right around 27 maybe. I think slightly under. So I did some crude math on it, looking at it. There's still a lot more meat on that bone. I think they could get it up to 30, 35.
There could be an offense explosion coming against the Bears because their defense is woeful. Hideous too.
Play the Bears, you play the Cowboys. Those are going to boost your averages.
You know what? Jaden's going to have... It's lining up for Jaden to have a good next few weeks.
Let's hope.
I mean, if you want to look at where they are ranked right now in terms of points per game, they're at 26.8, which is eighth in the NFL, so slightly down from last year.
All right.
Points against, they're 10th. 20.2, that's what they're allowing per game. And then, obviously, what's carrying them is their rushing yards. They're number one. They're now number one in the NFL, averaging 156 yards per game.
By the way,
over the Ravens.
They're next to opponents.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens are going to fall now with Cooper Rush in there.
Correct.
The Commanders face the Bears and the Cowboys next, correct? The next two games?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bears allow 29.3 points per game, and the Cowboys allow 30.8 points per game.
All right, you got to win those two games. You got to win them. You got
to
win.
The
teams are giving up 30 a game. You got to.
I mean, one's at home and the other one's a division rival on the road.
And I would assume Terry's back for both of those games.
I have no idea.
I make no assumptions about guys. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to.
A week out.
I'm just going to think.
I mean, they didn't put him on IR, which is a good sign.
Yep.
But
we'll find out this week, but I think he'll be there.
Let's go to William in North Carolina. William, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junks.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, it was a good win yesterday, but they have a lot to clean up. Every time they make a good play, I can't get excited. I'm looking for the flag. And it's ridiculous. And then every time they make a play, like they sack someone, they start celebrating like they're making a touchdown. I said, you got two more plays, two more downs to get a first down. And they got a first down on that next play. Thanks, fellas.
I mean, they didn't have as many penalties as their opponent yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers were
10 for 85.
I mean, every time the Chargers made a big play, there was a flag.
That is true. A lot of holding penalties.
Yep.
A lot of false starts.
I mean, the roughing the punter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Jason at Bethesda. He was at the game yesterday. Are you already home, buddy? Yo. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm home. What's up, Jack?
What did you take you take the red eye last night?
I took the red eye last night. I just got back actually. Wow. I met JP and EB at the Surfside event in Bethesda a while back.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if y'all remember me.
Yeah.
But just wanted to say the crowd was crazy. I used to always wonder. I'm a season ticket holder. I used to wonder what it felt like to come into the stadium as a visiting team and take over the stadium. We took over the stadium. But I also want to say, Luke McCaffrey catch changed the whole game.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
The crowd just thought that the game was over because it was the end of the first half. And so I want to say we're back. The people were singing hail to the Redskins after the game. It was great. And also, I met Dan Quinn when I was out there.
Oh, really?
Where?
He was great, yeah, at a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
The day before the game, he was with Adam Peters and Bob Myers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. Power dinner. Very nice.
Power dinner, man.
And you went up to
boys,
him?
We're back. I went up to him. I took a picture with him. Uh-huh. He was great.
And they were all three great?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just talked to Quinn. Uh-huh. I didn't get a chance to talk to Peters.
What'd
and,
you say to
Myers,
him?
But I just was like, hey, Commanders fans are here. He's like, yeah, we're going to be ready. He's excited. So it was great, man. But like I say, the team looked really good. The crowd, the people where I was sitting, they kept asking, where are all these fans from? Why is everybody out here?
No, this started last year where Commanders fans really started representing and traveling. The playoffs obviously was a huge thing, but by all accounts, 40% of the fans in Tampa for that playoff game were Commanders fans.
Right.
That's a playoff game in Tampa.
They travel well. They represent.
And this year it's carried over.
And you know what? I saw our guy rally captain 100 times on the broadcast because he's sitting right behind the uprights on one end of the stadium.
Oh, okay.
So every time they show like smart. A field goal, like
it was
a
branding
he's
move.
There with this big giant W yeah. like pendant and he's, right. got like a, he's got like a Commander's flag. I'm like, you can see him from outer space.
He's dialed in on those cameras.
He's so dialed in. He knows where to be.
Hey, five games in to speak ADs. Specifically to penalties. This is according to the Football Database. Washington's kind of middle of the pack when it comes to penalties. It looks like they've been penalized 37 times. Your NFL leader in penalties is the Vikings with 44 penalties so far this season.
Mm.
So not great, but not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Chargers now?
They've got to be zooming up the charts.
You know what? The Chargers are pretty close to where Washington is overall.
Yeah, last 2 weeks is probably.
This is according to TeamRankings.com. Chargers commit 7.8 penalties per game. But over their last three, they've averaged 9 penalties per game,
yeah.
including 10 yesterday against the Commanders. The Commanders averaged 7.4 penalties per game. But it's actually come down a little bit if you look at the last three games.
We need it to keep coming down. We need it to keep coming down, to be honest with you.
So kind of middle of the pack when it comes to penalties.
But overall...
Harbaugh yesterday when something went wrong.
Uh-huh. He just looked down. Yeah.
He just had a mouth agape.
Yeah. He didn't look like the world's greatest coach who's going to the Hall of Fame.
He certainly didn't.
No, not yesterday.
Yeah, he had a funny look
last
on his face.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
He looked like a dork with Warby Parker glasses on the sideline. That's what he looked like.
1-800-636-1067.
Fired up. Had
Do you
to
have
turn the corner.
2024 vibes with this Washington Commanders team.
Do you think, Cakes, they've turned the corner? Did that game turn the corner for you?
It's an impressive win. I need to see it again from the defense against the Bears.
Right.
I'm holding out hope that it's going to be something you can copy.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want the defense to be better, but let's say the offense is what... Do you believe the offense is what it was a year ago?
It's pretty
not
close.
Without Terry.
Not quite, but it's close.
Okay.
Trending in the right direction.
Isn't it a damn good team? Because last year they had a pretty crappy defense. If it's just a little bit better, smidge better. They don't have to become the 85 Bears, but it's a little
but
bit
remember,
better.
Just 2 weeks ago remember how Atlanta, we couldn't get any pressure.
Remember, we were killing this team pressure. Last week.
But the week before that, it was good. It's just yo-yoed.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what
well,
it
that's
is.
The NFL.
Be careful.
It's the NFL, man.
Off a receiver yesterday. But Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane each made one catch. Lane's was a 16-yard catch, I believe, on a 2nd and 12, picked up a first down. Luke, able to track and catch that deep ball. If you know the folks, if you don't follow All Pro Reels and you listen to our radio show, you're probably doing something wrong. All Pro Reels is like just an elite Instagram account. Those guys work really hard. They take great pictures and reels and all that stuff. The pictures they got of Luke making that catch yesterday are just phenomenal. It was one catch for 50 yards, but it completely flipped field position. And, you know, last week we did this. It was Landfill's topic. It was a Landfill topic. And it was like, are you mad about how they've built the wide receiver room? And I think with the wide receiver room, the Terry injury's tough. honestly, that Chris Moore not catch in the corner of the end zone, I think if 17's on the field, that's a touchdown. Chris Moore wasn't able to bring it in. We've seen Chris Moore have some struggles catching the football. The Terry injury has been tough, but the way they built this thing with two Pro Bowl veterans and then two young guys they think are developing, I think you saw it yesterday. Lane and Luke combined for 66 yards on two catches, but damn, they were important, and they were, you know, young guys kind of making the most of their opportunities. And for Luke now, that's three games in a row with an impact play. He had touchdowns in the previous two games, and then yesterday the 50-yard catch really set that offense up well. But earlier I was talking about how important that Quan Martin forced fumble was. So just listen to this, and I want to credit Tom Shad from The Post that did the research on this. The Chargers ran 26 offensive plays prior to that fumble. They were averaging 6.4 yards per play before the fumble. So LA ran 26 plays before that fumble. Washington ran 8 offensive plays before the fumble. Like, when you talk about time of possession, I mean, that's 3-1. LA's on the field to Washington. In the first quarter, I bet Washington possessed the football for like a minute and a half. So LA before the fumble, 6.4 yards per play. Afterwards, 4.4 yards per play. So that decreased by 2 yards per play. And then Washington, this is almost more astonishing. Their offense just started to click. Eight plays for 30 yards. They averaged fewer than 4 yards per play. 3.8 yards per play prior to that fumble. Bill had like one decent run. They really couldn't get anything going. Jaden didn't look accurate early. He was late on a throw to Debo. After that, 47 plays, 359 yards, 7.5 a pop yards per play. Like that fumble was so dramatically important to this game. And the way both teams kind of responded to it told the story. And it just completely flipped this game upside down. And I just, sometimes fumbles are a time and place, whatever it is, you got to be opportunistic on a football field. That is why the Commanders coaching staff always talks about ball is life and, you know, be active, going for the ball. They did it, and they did it well yesterday, and I think it paid off for them in such a significant way. Landfill, when they were down 10-0 early, how concerned were you?
I was extremely concerned. You know, it's not just that they were down 10-0. Like, the one time they had the ball, they gained 5 yards. I think at one point the yards differential was the Chargers had like over 120 and the Commanders were at 5. It just seemed like for that entire game, the Chargers were just going to get the ball and kind of march down the field and put up points every time. The defense didn't look like they were going to be able to stop anybody. The offense was kind of doing their, you know, struggle thing that they had been doing in some of the games this year. And morale was low at that time. It was very, very low.
Deservedly. It was, sitting in the press box when they got on the drive that ended in the fumble, they started at their own, the Chargers started at, I believe, their own 14-yard line. They got 3 first downs on that drive. They were cooking. They went 10 for 60 before the fumble. Like, they were moving. They were almost to the red zone when Quan forced that thing out. And it sure as hell felt in that stadium that it was going to be 13-17-0. And it was just such a vital, vital play. Dan Quinn's going to talk this afternoon. There's certainly some stuff they want to clean up from that. I think for another week, the tackling wasn't great. I do think they did a better job of, as a group, running to the ball carrier. So that prevented some of the missed tackles from becoming really big plays. I also thought, you know, we did see a little bit more of Jordan McGee on the field. I thought he made an impact and was a useful player in this thing. I'm actually pulling the snap counts up now because I'm curious. In Atlanta, I don't think McGee played a defensive snap. He didn't get a ton, but he was out there a little bit. They put Medrano and Cahill were both down. Cahill's kind of dealing with the injury, but it was interesting. Johnny Newton made a couple plays. Jacob Martin made a couple plays. I thought Eddie Goldman gave them some good snaps. I thought it was a much better overall effort. Marshawn Lattimore, I thought, was good in this game. It seemed very different than the Atlanta game. Yeah, so Jordan McGee was out there for almost 20% of snaps. I think they ran a little bit more actual 4-3. I got to go back and watch. I haven't had a moment. I went from the game to the press box to doing a show last night, running to the airport, Dulles, my house for a shower here. So I have not watched the film yet, Landfill. I'll confess on that one. But I think they
haven't watched the All-22.
You have?
No, you haven't.
I have not. I will. I haven't yet. Honestly, for those that have already, God bless you. There's a lot of film experts on Twitter, Landfill. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Nobody deserves it more. Herbert pressured again. Slings and it's caught by Johnston. And now the ball is loose. Washington recovers. Johnston had it and then he fumbled it. And the Commanders get a big break as Marshawn Lattimore comes up with it. I believe it was Quan Martin who forced the fumble.
Did that play save the game? It seemed like it. You know, we were headed towards another week of doom and gloom storylines until that hit by Quan Martin. Plays in the second quarter, they rarely decide games, but that one definitely changed the game and probably put us into position to have a nice victory Monday and a pleasant week ahead. Good morning, everybody. Max is here with me. Ben will join us. He is back from LA. He'll join us at 12. Plenty of time for you. My game take coming up. Quan Martin said about the hit on Quentin Johnston after the game that caused the fumble with 8 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first half. Quote, "Violence solves everything." Closed quote. You know, when it comes to the sport he plays, he's not wrong. And that violence solved a looming problem for sure. The Chargers were up 10-0 on their way to making it either 13-0 best case, 17-0 worst case. They were on their way to eating another 2, 3, 4 minutes of the clock, which they had already dominated. Without that turnover, Washington would have been in a heap of trouble. They would have been in a big hole. And don't forget, before that fumble, because everything that came after it is what we really kind of remember about how well they played, both sides of the ball, star performances, several big moments and big plays that for the most part went their way. But before that fumble, it had been a 22-minute beatdown. I mean, major beatdown. The offense in two drives went punt and then punt again. The defense had given up in just a quarter and a half 179 yards and 10 points, and more of both seem to be coming. I know that Dan Quinn said after the game about being down 10-0, he said, "I looked up and saw 10-0, and I said, blank, S." And he said, "But it felt different. It didn't look different. Wide receivers wide open. They were actually running the football. Offense was struggling, and it really seemed to be a big, big problem at that point." But that play turned things around, and then more plays followed, and it turned out to be a really good win. Games don't end 8 minutes, 7.5 minutes into the second quarter. That one was on the verge of it, but what a turnaround and what a game. 27-10, 3-2 now, a game back of Philly through 5 games. Long way to go, but man, that was a necessary win. I mentioned so many impressive performances, so many big plays in the game. It was a big bounce back game for the defense. 5 sacks, 2 massive takeaways, including the Johnston fumble forced by Quan Martin, the tipped pass by Johnny Newton that got picked off by Sanristil at the goal line in the fourth quarter. A team that only had 1 takeaway through 4 games came up with 2 crucial takeaways yesterday, and they needed them, no doubt. The Chargers, let's be fair here. The Skins were hurting with Terry McLaurin out, with Noah Brown out, with others banged up, and it's been a rough injury start to 2025. But the Chargers were an absolute train wreck of a mess along their offensive line. But the defense had to take advantage of it, and it did. Big time. The return of Jaden Daniels. The first 2 drives, a lot of rust. There was a call by Cliff Kingsbury on the second play of the game that I'll address in my game take that didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it was rusty to start, and then he completed that 3rd and 16 after the turnover, and he was himself again. The offense led by Jaden Daniels, and a pretty good day from the running back. We'll get to him. 5 scores on their final 6 drives of the game. Jaden was back. Kroski Merritt, wow, was Bill good. He's the one. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And yesterday's game kind of proved it, given the snap count, given the carry count. He's going to be the guy that gets the most opportunities, and I think he should. You know, he had 111 yards on 14 carries. That is 7.9 yards per carry. 2 touchdowns, another 2 catches for 39 yards. Yeah, he had the fumble, and it was a big one that ultimately did not cost them. His vision, his cutting ability, his burst, his yards after contact. I mean, the way people bounce off of him, the way he drags would-be tacklers. He was outstanding. And then the number of defensive performances in this game, pass rush-wise in particular, and really specific to the pass rush. I mean, I don't know where to start with how many players it seemed in my notes. I wrote down pressure leads to sack, or just sack. But Dorrance Armstrong and Johnny Newton and Jordan McGee and Kinlaw, and I mentioned Armstrong. I should mention him three times. Payne had big plays. It was just one after another, and Washington gets a huge win in the game. Now, I thought this was one of those games in which there were so many moments, so many key plays that as you're watching the game, you know, this isn't a red zone watch. This is, you know, start to finish, you're on one game, so you really kind of get the feel of how the game is going. And usually over the course of 60 minutes in a game that, you know, is close, you'll have four or five plays and you're like, that one was huge, that one. In a game that ends 27-10, you don't expect that many, but there were so many of those moments where you are watching and you say, wow, that was a major turning point play. There were seven of them that I counted, and you could probably add another three or four, but here were the seven. All right, number one, it starts with an absolutely horrible offsides on a short field goal attempt by Mikey Sanristil. That cost them 4 points. That's one of those, you know, early in the game, you're like, oh my God, that's going to come back and haunt them. It's going to come back and haunt them. By the way, on a super short field goal, and that attempt was what, 20-something yards? What was that, the length of that first field goal but the first touchdown when he missed the when he kicked the field goal offsides. It was a 29-yard field goal. All right, 29-yard field goal. You can't jump offsides on that. All right, you're not going to block those kicks more often than not because they get up in the air much faster. They don't have to drive those kicks. So the balls get up much quicker. They're so much harder to block. That was costly. So that was number one of seven key plays, key moments. Number two was the play we came in with, the monster forced fumble by Quan Martin that legitimately turns around a game that is headed towards 13-0, 17-0, you know, 200 and something yards of offense to 25, you know, 11 first downs to zero, you know, time of possession, something like, you know, 21 minutes to six or 22 minutes to five. And by the way, leaving Washington with very little time to even answer, although we saw they didn't need a lot of time at the end of the first half, not with five back. That's for sure. That play was so big. Offense had punted twice. Defense had given up 179 yards. And it was getting ugly, and it was getting ugly early, and that play turned around the game. That was definitely one of those where you say, oh, man, make a note of that. That may have just turned the game around. I saw people saying, that game saved the season. It didn't save the season in week five. But I'll tell you what, it certainly gave them an opportunity to make sure that people weren't talking about the season being over after yesterday's game. Key play, key moment number three. Shortly after that fumble, they go backwards on offense, and here they are about to punt again on a third straight offensive drive, and they are facing third down and 16. And that fumble, that forced fumble by Quan Martin, would not have meant much. You know, if they go three and out and give the ball back to the Chargers and the Chargers have good field position. But, wow, the first big play of Jaden's return. Third and 16, they're not checking it down. They're not running a screen or a draw. He's throwing to the sticks to the rookie Jalen Lane. It is a great throw. It's a really good contested catch. And there it is, a massive conversion. And from that moment on, Jaden and the offense completely different the rest of the way. Number four, key moment number four. End of the first half, 10-7, punting from their own end zone. I'll talk about, when I get to my game take, the different possibilities they had there at the end of the first half. Quinn was ultra aggressive, not once, but twice in that scenario. And he hadn't been, you know, without Jaden, with Mariota. But down 10-7, punting from deep in your own end zone. That punt gets returned 57 yards for a touchdown by Ladd McConkey. Now, I'm sure most of you, like I, saw the roughing or running into, wasn't sure what it would be. Go back to the Maryland game on Saturday when their punter got absolutely mauled and for some reason it was running into the kicker. You don't know these days with if it's going to be a 15 or a 5. It seems like more often than not, when it looks like it's a 15, it's a 5. And when it looks like a 5, it's a 15. That one looked like a 15. It was a 15. It nullified the 17-7 lead on the punt return, and it gave Washington the ball from their own 17-yard line. But what would they do with it? That leads to key moment, key play number 5. First play after the roughing the punter. We're not going to run the clock out from our own 17, one timeout left. We get the ball to start the second half, but no, we're going for it. Jaden, 50-yard bomb to Luke McCaffrey. What a throw. What a catch. That leads to a game-tying field goal and all of the momentum heading into halftime. I mean, that game turned on a dime at the 8:50 mark, and it was about to turn again until that bomb to McCaffrey. Play number 6 of my top 7 moments in which you jotted it down and said, that one, that's the play that we're going to look back on. First play of the fourth quarter. This is the one where the Chargers, potentially, if they had come back to win the game, would have pointed to this play to say, without that, we don't win the game. And that was Kroski Merritt's fumble on 1st and 10 in Charger territory after they had failed on a 4th and 2. And here goes the ball on the turf, recovered by the Chargers. And all of a sudden, a game that looks like we're on the verge of putting away is now back in play with 14-something left in the fourth quarter. And then at the end of that drive, finally, by the way, a drive. Did you guys see this? That drive for the Chargers after Bill's fumble, all right, which started on their own 43-yard line, all right, their own 43-yard line with 14:52 left in a game that was a 10-point game, 20-10. In just 53 yards, they ran 14 plays and ate 7 minutes and 12 seconds of the clock. By the way, yesterday's game is not going to help Washington's time of possession disparity. It was 34-19 Chargers to 25-41 Washington, 25 minutes 41 seconds for Washington. They were 28th in the league coming in time of possession, something that they really owned last year, finishing 7th in the league. But man, when you go 14 plays in 7 minutes and 12 seconds, you usually think that that's like an 85-yard drive. 53 yards. And they had a 1st and goal at the 1. No Hampton on that drive for them. That was big for Washington. And the interception by Sanra Still after the Johnny Newton tipped pass. Herbert looking for Keenan Allen in the end zone on 3rd and goal. That was the 7th big moment. And the final big moment of the game. Rarely do you have that many plays in a game that ends 27-10. Where you look back and say, mark that one down, jot that one down. That one is going to be one we talk about. And there were at least 7 of them. How about the drive, by the way, that followed the Sanra Still pick? 13 plays, 99 yards, 6 minutes and 32 seconds. And on 4th and 7, instead of kicking the field goal, they go for it, and Jaden throws a touchdown pass to Debo in the corner of the end zone, officially in that moment ending the football game. I guess they technically needed the extra point to make it for sure a 3-possession game. But wow, that was a game that had a lot of those moments. It was a win that they really needed. The season is long, all right? You know, if they had lost yesterday, the season was not done. It would have felt like it was on the verge of slipping away. But what a difference, 3-2, coming from 10-0 down and on the verge of it being worse than 10-0, to dominate a team on the road. I know it was not much of a road environment. how great that feels through five versus what it would have been. 2-3, two-game losing skid, doom and gloom all week. It's amazing. A week ago, talking about how bad the defense was against the Falcons, and then it steps up with probably its performance of the year, considering the circumstances. Again, against a team that was hurting up front and has been absolutely shredded to pieces up front for three straight games. But wasn't sure that we had it to take advantage of it, and we did. This team had the guys up front in particular to take advantage of that situation. It wasn't must win. You know, I never thought yesterday was must win. I thought it was a need to have, and I thought they would get it all week. I did. And no, for all of you tweeting me, I do not have a feel on the Bears game like I did on the Falcons game 2 weeks ago and on the Chargers game a week ago. I think this is going to be a really interesting football game a week from tonight at home against the Bears. Not a strong feeling yet either way. We will see as the week goes along. But look, this was one of those games that there are certain, you know, junctures of the season when you have a successful season that you sometimes look back and say, you know what, that was one we were on the verge of it going sideways, and we were, you know, we got plays, we made plays, we came back, we won the game, and we stopped the potential bleeding at that moment in the season. You really do, when you are a successful team and you believe yourself to be a contending team, you've got to stop potential, you know, runs. They had that three-game losing skid last year. They had to bounce back after it, and they did. And I thought yesterday they kept the doom and gloom feeling of the season slipping away. They kept it at a distance. They did that yesterday. I'll get to my game take coming up here in a moment. I do want to just mention this about Jaden Daniels' return. I know that he's played two games, or he had played two games before yesterday, but man, yesterday, from that 3rd-and-16 completion on in the second quarter after the fumble recovery, that really felt like the beginning of Jaden Daniels' second season. The first two count. I'm not trying to take away the first two. They will count on his record statistically, win-loss-wise, etc. But remember, yesterday was his first game in 23 days, in over 3 weeks. And the start of the season was the opener, which is always a weird game, and then four nights later. And I think that yesterday was huge. I don't think he ever had a doubt that he was going to play well. And it didn't start well at all. But what a turnaround. And he is, of course, the absolute key to another winning season, another season in which this team contends for something in the postseason. And I thought he looked good. I thought he looked healthy, especially after he ditched those shoes early on for a better pair. He looked good throwing it. He looked good running it. He moved well. And you can just see how everybody else benefits by his mere presence on the field. The way teams have to play him and account for him makes it so much easier for everybody else, even though they were missing so many key players. His health and availability isn't the only thing that matters, but it's the thing that matters the most. Good to have him back. Good win for this team. 3-2, everything on the table 5 weeks into the season.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
It is time, Danny, to give out some game balls to the best and some gassers to the worst.
What's his name? Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. You know what would be a good idea? And I mean this. A weekly radio hit. Hear me out. You and me talk to Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt every week. Would that be a good idea? Would that be something that people might be interested in? What a game for the young fella. I know the fumble happened, but so did a whole bunch of other productive stuff. He was powerful. He was quick. He displayed vision. He displayed burst. He caught the ball out of the backfield. Pets' heads were falling off. He was awesome. Two tutties.
Cliff Kingsbury thought he was really, really good. They had another wildcat look where Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, based on backfield motion, kind of comes to his side and gets behind the center, and Daniels gets behind him, and then they've got Debo in motion, and it looks like they're going to go like triple option or something wacky. And it just turns into Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt barreling downhill for a bunch of yards. They do so many different things, eye candy stuff, unique wrinkles in the run game off of stuff they've done the week earlier or earlier in the game. Cliff is just constantly in his bag. They ran option in this game for a 3rd-and-1 that worked beautifully to get a first down. They had another play they did not. I'm going to have to find this because it's one of those things, I don't know how many people noticed it, but it was the thing that I always want teams to do. They had a designed run for Jaden off the right side, and then Debo on the sideline just kind of comes back a couple of yards, and he's waiting for one of these thrown laterals, like a rugby play, where Jaden, as he, you know, if there's nothing there, almost like an option, could just sling it out to the field to Debo, and then he could catch the ball and barrel downhill. Put that one in your back pocket, because that's coming back at some point. There's just these little things, right? It's a really good defense you're playing. I thought having a designed run on the second play of the game was also tremendous. And the reason why was, number one, it shows everybody, we're not worried about this knee, so settle down. But secondly, the Chargers have done a terrible job defending quarterback runs all year, and you show that right as soon as you get off the bus, you're showing that to say, you better account for this guy, because he can run today. I think it helps your traditional running game with Kroski-Merritt. I think it helps your passing game to get Jaden going. He ran for 40 yards in the game, about 5 a pop. Cliff had a great day.
Debo. Oh, bleep, Debo coming. My God, is he awesome. I love Debo Samuel. I was thrilled with the transaction. That's a great move. I would give up another 5th-rounder if they asked me. I'd do it right now, sight unseen. 8 for 96 and a touchdown, a long of 22. He is not a deep threat. He is not a take the top off the defense guy. Everything short of that, though, he is. He is a weapon. Even if he's not getting the football, he demands attention. That level of skill and power and toughness, and Cliff Kingsbury's doing the right thing where you just invent ways to get good guys the football. Like, too many years, too many offensive coordinators have been going, well, he lines up outside, I don't know what else to do because they're doubling him. You don't do that. You do what Kingsbury does with Debo Samuel. It's a different way every time. It requires a lot of the player, but a guy with that skill set can do it, and he is doing it for this offense. He is the engine.
Matt Gay has made 8 consecutive field goals. He's now 9 of 12 on the season. Bobby Wagner, 14 tackles. In the box, traditionally kind of between the tackles, getting people on the ground, not asked to do a lot in space. Better plan, better execution, and getting him into areas where he can thrive. And I thought he did really, really well. Quan Martin, forced fumble, changed the world. From 10-0, could have been 17-0, to 10-7. Without you, where are the Washington Commanders today? Mikey Sanders still, back-to-back weeks with an interception. 2 straight weeks where you've noticed Mikey Sanders still making a huge play. He was headed for a gasser. In fact, I'll give him a quick gasser. On special teams, Mikey Sanders still jumping off sides. But the net balance was positive in the game, and I'll do one more. How in the hell did Luke McCaffrey catch that pass? 50-yard deep post with a guy literally tackling him as he's catching it. Concentration, I guess, is the answer. That was an incredible play.
This idiot
this jackass, this bloviating, self-important, red-cheeked loser on the radio thought that the Chargers would dominate Washington and said as much. That guy's stupid. And you tell him I said so. Randy Douya, I think the idiot's name is. Gasser for that guy.
Jalen Lane, 3rd and 16, small window. I think receivers who barely get opportunities can be likened into somewhat analogous to hitters that never get to play or get at bats. I actually think it's a lot harder when you're just kind of throwing one or two footballs.
Great analogy. Right on. Like, yep.
You don't get to get in rhythm. You don't get to really feel the game and the flow of things. It's two targets basically a week right now for guys like Luke and Lane. And you're just supposed to make the play when you get the chance or everyone hates your guts and thinks you can't play. What a catch by Jalen Lane. And in a big-time spot to get the boys going.
Torrence Armstrong. Okay, Torrence Armstrong. Go ahead and have two more sacks, buddy. Is that five through five games? How about a couple career highs on the horizon for Torrence Armstrong? Continuing his hotness. Torrence Armstrong hot right now. Coming from the postseason, carrying it over to right now. That dude is balling.
I'll split a game ball. Von Miller and Jacob Martin. Because they split sacks constantly. Von Miller, much better game or more noticeable game. I'm a little bit salty, Danny, because I called a two-sack Von Miller game.
You did call that.
I didn't get it.
No.
I got a 1.5 sack game because he got gypped out of a half
sack. I think you need to get credit for that.
I don't get any credit. I said he would.
Who decides? Can we decide?
Well, the stat box. The stat box?
Yeah.
What's the stat box?
It's the box of stats.
Okay. The stat box decides, and it says he did not have two sacks. I said he would have two. He had 1.5.
Yeah.
By the way, Jacob Martin's my guy. He likes to like skateboard and listen to Avril Lavigne and just like wear trucker hats that are camo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there. Yep. Baggy jeans, mm-hmm. JNCOs or something. That guy is cool, but he's also a good football player. When they sign him, I'm like looking at his stat box from his career, like with the Bears and like 11 other teams in 6 years. And I'm like, yeah, this guy won't make the team. Jacob Martin can play. I like watching him as a pass rusher. He is a hustle double in waiting.
Listen, it's not your fault that you're Chris Moore. It's not the plan. It was never going to be the plan. It's not supposed to be the plan. It shouldn't be happening. It's the Reed Dowdy corollary. You don't blame Reed Dowdy for being Reed Dowdy. When Jaden does the magical thing and he turns badness into greatness.
That's probably his best play of the day.
And but it's not like he threw it badly. He put it just right there. Ah, it's in those hands. Touchdown is so important. Those touchdowns are so important. It's the most important thing. It's that football. You got to hold that football. When he puts it there, you got to hold it. Not a remarkable catch, not a game changer, not a how did he come down with that one, guys? Let's go to the replay. Ah, it's right there. That's for a touchdown. It's the most important thing you can do on the field. It's the number one thing, and it's your job, and he did it for you. Just catch the ball, man. That's what I got.
It what that play was, have you ever, you've left your car somewhere? Okay, overnight, maybe just trying to be responsible or whatever. And so the next morning, you need your buddy to help you get back to your car, okay? Jaden Daniels drove to your house. You got in his car. He drove you to the vehicle 27 miles away. You get there. You get out. You didn't bring your keys. Daniels did everything. He put in so much work. He helped you so much. All you have to do is bring your keys. Just accept this.
Just make a little house.
Wonderful gift that I'm giving you.
Just like pretend that you're going to get some water from a faucet. Okay? Put your hands together. Cup them. Cup those hands. And then just go right there. And the ball's going to hit you right there.
Yeah, that was a great play. I also loved, he made a really, really good throw to Debo. It was like a moon ball on the goal line where he was trying to throw a touchdown. And it was like a broken up play. And he was so well covered. I'm like, there's no chance this is going to be a score. And it almost was because Daniels made a great throw. There were a few of those in the game where you go, he deserved a little better on that play. The shades of the Bengals play at the end of the game, making a play very few quarterbacks can make on the road to put a team away with the 4th and 7 call, which was awesome. That was great coaching, by the way. 4th down, you either go for that, and if you don't get it, they've got to go basically 92 yards or whatever, down by 10. Or you could kick it and make it 13, but no.
Because it's a two-score game regardless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's just go for it, see if we score here. If you don't, then they got to go further with less time. So that I just thought it was really smart, rare that you see that kind of thinking, but they did all the right things there. Let's go to the phones. Mark is in Landover Hills on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mark?
Top of the day to you, gentlemen. Great show.
Buddy.
Hey, my gasser has got to be for Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive line and tight ends and wide receivers and the blocking schemes and situating Bill to perform at a high level for the team and himself, and showing people once again that your hands, the guys with their hands in the dirt, that's where the games are won and lost, fellas. Those guys in the trenches, man. And I know you got other people calling. Hey, you guys make sure.
Appreciate you,
dude. Yeah, the O-line. I think he said Gasserie probably meant game ball.
I think he's going game ball there.
But the O-line I thought was sensational.
That'd be tough to make them run a lap after
he's
yesterday.
Like, everybody that blocks so well for all the running holes and Merritt and everybody.
They dominated Gasser. The line of scrimmage. Go run a lap.
That group was good.
Bargov and Gaithersburg, you're on G&D. Game ball and Gasser.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, only Gasser, Chris Moore, for obvious reasons. I want to give kudos to the coaching staff. You know, both coordinators were seeing the matrix slowed down. Really conducting the orchestra in a zone. Defense proved to be a smart buy-low distressed asset after the Falcons in the first quarter of this game, so shout out to them for bouncing back. We need that pass rush and the opportunistic turnovers. That's really crucial for us.
And they had it in this game.
That's right.
Pass rush in spades, A-plus effort there, and you got two takeaways for the first time all season. We're going to talk in the 4 o'clock hour about the defense. Did they turn a corner? Do you feel better about them? How much of this was them figuring some things out? How much was just taking advantage of a horrific Chargers, injury-riddled offensive front that's not really NFL caliber when you played them yesterday? Not who you play, but when you play them kind of thing. We'll get into that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But I know this, after the performance in Atlanta, to have a 10-point game defensively where you don't allow a point in the last three quarters, I mean, the Chargers scored 3 points with a field goal from 55 at 2:57 to go in the first. From that point on, they didn't score again. And I think you would have gotten odds to become rich today on that, on a sports book somewhere, if you would have bet it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.